This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Open for Business here on BFM 89.9, and I'm Lily Chai. One thing the pandemic has taught me over the past 2 years, along with 80% of adults, according to data, is that I am definitely more conscious and aware of self-care, self-love, and of course, self-pampering. And so, tapping into this as a business opportunity, Ann and Bo founded Anbo, a local brand that sells artisan handmade beeswax candles. Anbo hopes to grow into a homegrown brand to promote self-care routines and creating one-of-a-kind home goods. Anbo, you guys both lost your jobs during the pandemic, but what were you guys doing before Anbo? And do you have any experience, or what experience did you guys have in the entrepreneurship space?
We actually do not have any
prior
entrepreneurship experience. I was just working for people, you know. It's just when during pandemic, that's when we come up with all these ideas, like let's start something, let's do something, because we can't just be sitting there and, you know, not doing anything. I was an accountant back then, but I was being laid off, sadly. So Bo,
My background was, I got a very interesting background. I majored in accounting and finance. And then I came back and be a UK property consultant. It's like a whole new different world for me. And then slowly I left because my boss went back to the UK, and I was like, okay, maybe it's about time for me to do something creative as I always want to. So I started freelancing as a graphic designer. I got a tad bit of like my foot in the entrepreneurship. I guess like during pandemic, everything slowed down. So we felt like, okay, like Anne said, we just couldn't sit, like we couldn't stay still, like, you know, after working like back to back since we come back from the UK. So we felt like, okay, let's kickstart something. Let's take this pandemic, this quiet time to really, you know, kick ourselves at the back and then just start something. So I guess that's how Anbo was born.
Right. So it is a pandemic baby, I would say.
Definitely.
Okay, we're talking about self-love, self-care in the pandemic, and there are so many different forms of self-care and self-pampering, right? But why did you choose candles out of so many different forms that are available out there?
Oh, that's a very good question. I think because we love burning candles. I think that was our
mainly I love burning candles. Yeah. So I burn candles to calm down. Even during work previously, when I was really stressed, when I come back, I need to light a candle so that I can inhale in all the good, you know, scent to make me feel really, really relaxed. Bo is more to...
I'm more to fragrance. Smelling good things like make me feel good, make me feel like more at peace, at calm. So I guess when we started coming up with this question, like, okay, what makes a good candle? So we started Anbo out of passion. Like we wanted to do something that we're passionate about, because there's no point we create something and then we're like, we're not really into it. We're not really sure that, even though it's like, oh, it's a lotion, it's a stuff like that, but it's not really what we use. So we want to start with something that we would use. And something that we are passionate about. So I guess
candles
would be something that we would want to have, and we would want people to have, we want to connect with people with candles. So I guess we put out with this good question where we say, what makes a good candle? So that's how we sort of come about it. So that's when we start researching and finding out. I think it's just learning about, like, okay, what makes a good candle? Because being in, like, we both was in the UK, we studied in the UK, we lived there for quite some time. So we've seen like how the community uses candle as a form of self-care, and it's very popular. Then like everywhere you get a different range of candles. Like but compared to Malaysia, when we come back, we're like, oh, the only candles I can get is off IKEA, like that's like $6. Or there's only luxury candles, the big brand, like pretty much we wouldn't want to spend on if we don't have that kind of budget. So there isn't like a middle range just yet, until we started seeing like, oh, okay, we started researching. We're glad there are pioneers, local brand who has started this.
Yeah, we really thank them for that.
Yeah, I think for raising awareness with like using candles as a self-care product. So that was how we sort of came about learning about our market and finding a gap for it.
Right. So I know that you must have gone through a lot of R&D, a lot of thought, a lot of experimentation.
Oh, definitely,
right?
Yeah.
Right. So did you run
sort of like a pilot test to test the temperature of the market for your beeswax candle, because you are one of the few that sells beeswax instead of, you know, other forms of wax. Did you run a pilot test?
I think we sort of like shot ourselves on the foot and be like, let's just start. Yeah. Let's just get it started. We have this idea. I think it's always, you know, when you, I think I felt like when you start, you know, pounding yourself with too many questions, you sort of refrain yourself from like taking that step. I mean, it's just the pandemic. We never know how long it will take. We were like, okay, let's just play it out. Let's just try it out. Yeah. If it didn't succeed as we tend it to be, we're just like, okay, maybe it's not just meant to be. Maybe you can just move that product elsewhere. And then I was like, let's just do it lah. That's our, we're just like, let's do it lah.
And okay, I do want to talk a lot about your products, right?
Yes.
Okay, you claim to use 100% natural beeswax. So can you tell me, how is beeswax different from, you know, the waxes in commercial or traditional candles?
Okay, in the market, there's a lot of people using paraffin. There's a lot of people using soy wax. There's a gap, actually. There's no one using beeswax at all. I mean, in the market, maybe not at all, but very, very little.
Yeah, not that we know of.
Yeah. So from all the waxes that we've encountered, that's where how we started at the beginning. So it's beeswax all the way. We said we definitely want to do it with beeswax.
Why beeswax?
I mean, like when you started a business and everything, you always want to find a form to be different. So for us, we felt like, okay, fragrances can be about the same for everything. So what can we make it different? Like, let's say, what's the big difference between like the beeswax and the commercial candles? Is like, you go out and see big brands that actually uses paraffin because they want to keep the cost low. Okay, so they can price it more on the fragrance, which ultimately we know that's the value of every branded goods, is the value of their fragrance. And then you see like the more like, more homegrown, they will start using like soy wax, palm wax, or even like more up and coming waxes like this coconut wax. There's all types of wax that can be drawn. But we felt like the process, like we started learning, like the process of extraction is not as natural. So like soy is natural, but soy wax isn't. Same with palm. So they had to go through like a whole process of filtration and chemical process.
It's a very long chemical process to get the soy wax palm wax. So, but beeswax is not. Beeswax, it's being extracted naturally from the beehives. So once the bees, you know, they go out, get their
pollens
from nectars and come back to their beehives. And that's when they build the honeycomb-shaped sort of home for them to store their
honey.
So after that, once the bees migrate, so the beekeepers will remove the waxes and as well as the honey. So the honey, definitely they will go for to do all those
honey
stuff.
Yeah.
And then
edible honey.
So what's left in the hive, it's the beeswax. So it's full of impurities, of course, at the beginning because it's so pure. Mm-hmm. It just came back right from the flower, let's say. So there's pollens, there's maybe dead bees. I'm so sorry about that. But
drawn by their own honey.
Drawn by their own honey. But yeah, but that's how it is, how the process goes by.
So like, okay, so like after beekeepers extract honey from the beehives and the honeycombs, so what you're left off is just that structure of honeycombs. So beekeepers will normally just stick it, okay, because it's one big chunk of like, it depends on how the bees are being constructed with their hives. So they will take it, melt it down, go through like a filtration process, a boiling and filtration to remove as many impurities. And in the process, they actually remove like a bit of honey aroma. So what you left for is just one big chunk of block of beeswax. So that will be used for like our candles, can be used for lip balms, polishes and anything that you can think of. So yeah.
Okay, it sounds to me like this is a more sustainable option. Would you say that?
Definitely yes. Agree. Yes.
I think the process is more natural, like the extraction of it and the made of it is all bees made. Like it's not handmade at all, it's not man made at all. It's just the process of just, you know, retracking the honeys and stuff like that. It's all just handmade. That process as well.
Right.
And most importantly, no bees are harmed in the process.
So that's a very important thing. Mm. Other than them drowning themselves in their own honey, but
Okay. No, beeswax, I read from your website, you claim beeswax to be able to burn longer, right?
Yes.
Compared to commercial candles, which stretches the longevity of your candles. But from a business, let's go down to like the numbers, right?
Yeah.
From a business standpoint, isn't this like a disadvantage to you? Because you will have lower turnovers and yep. people won't buy that often, yep. right? So why still?
I think when someone buy a candle, the first thing is, like, oh, I'm burning money. Like, you know, I'm burning money. Like, oh my God. But so we want to make people feel like, you know, they have value in burning their money, like buying candles that can last longer. Like, that's what everyone wants, right? You want to buy something that you don't want to keep buying off. From a consumer perspective, I think, like, let's say, like, from a business perspective, you're right, we felt like, okay, we're getting low turnovers and stuff like that. But ultimately, that's not where Enbos stands on. Like, for us, we felt like we created this product. What we want to do is we want to connect with people with this product, because we know that, like, people who buy and love our products will end up buying for their friends, and everyone's about sharing and giving. So we love that idea, and we sort of market on that idea of gifting.
Yeah.
So we hope that, of course, yes, you take some time too long, and but we also hope that, like, people were like, oh, okay, then if it's burning longer, means I can buy some more for other spaces, because everyone
it's
has different spaces.
Yeah, it's more worth it for them,
yeah.
for our customers as well.
Has the number of returning customer reflect what you just said?
Yeah.
Actually,
it's,
yes.
It's true. It's quite. We were actually quite surprised, because, like, people will buy it, they will come back and be like, oh my God, I love your candle so much, I'm going to give it to my boss, I'm going to give it to my friends. And they won't just buy one, but they will keep, like, every month, they may have friends who have birthdays, they will end up, you know, coming back. Buying
yes.
candles for their friends, because so, they found it and they love it. So we're actually quite grateful to have spoken and to have actually met, like, returning customers who come back with their feedbacks and telling us, like, how they love to share and how they felt like, you know, it's so worth the value, I guess, for them. Mm. Yeah.
All right. That's a really interesting thing. It's time for us to take a short break from some messages, but don't go anywhere. I'm here with Anne and Bo, the founders of Anbo, on Open for Business here in BFM 89.9, the business station.
Blockbusters for me. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. This is Open for Business here on BFM 89.9, the business station. I'm Lily Chai. I'm here today with Anne and Bo, the founders of Anbo. And before the break, we were talking about, you know, the genesis of the brand and a little bit about why did they choose beeswax to be the core material of their candles. Now, as for the scents of your candles, right, you use essential oils and fragrances that are sourced from the US, the UK and France. Did you try sourcing in Malaysia first? And what was the hiccup that made you want to source externally?
We definitely, of course, our first choice is Malaysia. But then, unfortunately, I feel that their scent note is not there yet. It's not what we wanted. So we did try some of their fragrances. We did try R&Ding. But no, their fragrance note just didn't come out as
much as we expected.
As much as we like to use them. So, because everything's online now, so we get to, you know, explore a little bit from the overseas. So hence, we try purchasing them overseas, even though it's, of course, much more expensive than we expected when they arrive. And then we try on it. We straight away got it. It's just like, it's I don't know, it's magical. It's like, okay. And then we were so happy about it.
Not to say we're lucky in a sense. Of course, hard work has to put into it. I think it's all from our personal recollection of, like, oh, okay, this experience, what do I want? Every scent that we start to create, we start going back to a story for it. Like, okay, what do we want to feel this time? What are we hoping for people to feel this time? Because, like, everyone, like, we're very adamant towards the fact that scents are subjective. So we felt like, okay, there is a different audiences and markets we can look into. And there's one thing we always want to be is we need to make sure that our scent is genderful. In a way where genderful is like, oh, floral scent is for feminine and, like, woody scents for men and stuff like that. We don't want that. We want to break that stigma, like, scents are gender. So, like, in terms of our R&D, we make sure that we try to incorporate as many as different scent, like, complement different scent groups. Like, there's floral scent, let's mix it with you know, woody scent or something fruity with like florals and stuff like that. So I think for us is our R&D has a different branches. It doesn't limit to just the scent itself. I guess it's we want to make sure the experience and the smell from it and the message that we can get out from that.
Right. So, yeah. You mentioned it being very difficult, and especially when, you know, the global supply chain has been disrupted immensely due to, you know, the geopolitical issues. Has it affected your supply chain?
Fortunately,
I think that's one of the things is like, let's say because Enbo is a pandemic baby, so we learned to adapt to it. So we felt like we were very lucky because we were already in that moment of time where we just have to adapt and be flexible to like changes. Okay, let's say we cannot get from this supplier. Okay, let's just find something else. I think we learned very well to like adapt and switch. Like, oh my God, if anything happens, what's our backup plan?
Yeah, like thank God for internet.
Okay, when you both were just starting out, you know, the R&D process, right? Did you hand make these candles or you immediately engage with manufacturers?
Oh. Bo shot herself on the food again and again.
I think because we felt like, okay, we don't want to be like a basic, you know, like, oh, okay, I'm just going to take a glass, pour some candles, like get some fragrance on, and then that's my product. So we felt like, okay, we want to do something different. And then, so I was like, okay, let's look into concrete. One of the things Enbo does is we don't want to settle for like the basic. We always want to be creative.
And we want to be different.
Yeah, we always want to be different. Because I think I go by this saying where when something is familiar, when you create something that's familiar, make it surprising. When you create something that's surprising, make it familiar. So for us, it's like, candle is like, not to say a boring product, but it's like a product that everyone is familiar with. Yes, exactly. Everyone's like, oh, candle, I know what to do. Just burn it, like that, lor. But for us, it felt like I need a surprising element. So we felt like, okay. So I started researching on like what other vessels that we can do during the pandemic. And then, so we felt like, let's try a handcrafted approach where we started looking into concrete. And we bought like molds and stuff like that to learn and to get the right ratio. So there are so many things that we sort of like put ourselves into. Yes, and scents as well. We didn't want to just do like
single scent.
Yeah, a single scent or like a scent that everyone can just get. We felt like we needed to take another step as well in terms of fragrance. So we want to make sure that these are the scent that no one can get elsewhere. So there are different things that we took a bit more time to launch because we spent like 6 months to about 6 months?
6 months to about 9 months.
6 to 9 months trying to get all these ratios.
To get the formula right.
Yeah, to get all this formula right.
Yeah.
And all these processes happen in your house? Or?
Yes.
Yes.
So everything was handmade.
Yes, everything.
Until now, are you using manufacturers locally to make your
vessel?
No. We actually still handmade them.
We still handmade the vessels
and the wax, like the candle inside?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So we still handmade, we still boil it down, we still mix our own hand, mix our fragrance, hand pour them, hand pack them. Everything is all handmade.
I'm just very curious, are you looking into automation in the future?
That's a very good question. We are planning to, because I think as much as we really love to put our hands into every craft, I mean, I'm just one person and Anne is just one person. But we felt like we can only do this much. So we started like getting interns in. The mold that we have right now is custom made because I designed it myself because we started off with concrete as well, but we felt like everyone is using the same concrete make. And we felt like, where's Embo's identity in it? Like, so over early this year, we started thinking like maybe it's time to change the look of our concrete.
So we started to rebrand ourselves so that once you look at it, you know it's Enbo.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, how big is your team currently?
It's just the two of us.
Hello.
The whole Enbo is all in the studio right now.
And one intern?
And so we got a partner as well, but she is currently based in Taiwan. Mm. So we're hoping to set up a Taiwan soon when she's more settled down and hoping to bring Enbo into Taiwan as well.
Right. How much money was invested in the business and how was it funded?
Right out of our own pocket. Yeah. I think when we came out with our capital, we were very unwise with it, I must say, because we take it as like a hobby, which is, I think it was a big mistake at the first place, right? We
treat it as a hobby.
Yeah, just buy. And I think shout out to everyone out there who actually, when you start a business, you actually plan capital. I think that's very important. Yeah. Like for us, we didn't did it as the right way as it should be. But of course, we did set aside, like I think when we
a
sort of
amount.
Yeah, when we sort of like started soaring and stuff, like, oh, okay, I think we spent a good 5-figure on just getting materials. That fragrance are not cheap. They're really expensive. Mm-hmm. And I think with the logistics and everything, so I think it's a good 5-figure. That
yeah,
we,
thank goodness I have a little bit of savings from my past jobs.
Yeah, yeah. So we fund everything that, on our own. Yeah.
Now, considering you guys lost your job during the pandemic and still funding it out of your pocket, it is actually a very bold move to make, to be honest.
It is.
So your products range from 39 ringgit to 300 plus ringgit, right? So how big is your profit margin? And has, you know, the recent inflationary pressure, has it pushed you to want to adjust your pricing if you haven't already?
Yes, we haven't. I think we started looking into our profit margin and we realized we've been told also we are severely underpriced.
Yeah.
Because beeswax sounds good, but because they're very expensive, so the price point compared to a lot of commercial candles is about 2 times the price. But I think it's because we felt the pressure of making it affordable because candles are very new.
In the Malaysia market, we see
the disparity between like the locals and the international market. We felt like
we want Malaysians to enjoy.
Yeah, so we want to make it affordable.
Enjoy the luxury at an affordable price.
Yeah.
Until now, we have not increased our price. Even though there's inflation, like you said, it is really affecting our profit margin at the moment. But let's see how it goes.
You know, with people now returning to the office and spending lesser time at home, has this transition into endemicity affected your sales? And do you mind sharing some numbers if there was a difference?
Yes, definitely. I think in June, we hit big time. Our sales dropped like by 5 times. Any sales that came in June, we cannot sustain at all. But we were very lucky because at that point of time, we managed to get some corporate orders in. So we were quite thankful for that. At least helped us cover that month of June. And July was a bit okay. We were quite lucky because we started looking into having retail take in our candles as well. So we were very grateful for Sutaya Bookstore in Pavilion. So that helped us a lot. Like honestly speaking, I think that helped with our brand
awareness
as well. So it did help with the sales a bit.
Yes.
But yes, it's still affecting, especially the weekends. I think no one really shops
on weekends
on
nowadays.
They're all out and about. Right. There are always activities. So I think we're slowly thinking of pivoting into like weekend markets where everybody pretty much is right now.
Are you profitable yet? And considering that you mentioned, you know, June, it was difficult for you to sustain. Yeah. So have you become profitable?
I think it was broken even right now. Now we're just on a route of hoping to make it more profitable. So I mean, for now, we're not struggling in a way. Like, we're still able to make ends meet.
Okay, this is just a very personal question because I believe that candles are like perfumes, right?
Yeah.
I want to be able to smell it in order to buy it.
Yes.
But before the Sutaya bookstore, right, did you have any physical presence, like doing pop-up stores or whatever of that means to let people be able to see and touch and smell your product?
Yeah.
I mean, you weren't able to do that during the pandemic.
Yeah, exactly.
So how do you break through that barrier to reach to more people?
I think we had Dressing Paula also, which was, they had presence around. They have like in Four Seasons, Mid Valley, and somewhere they took us in as well as part of their like self-love, self-care section. So that was like during pandemic when it's like, everyone's in and out, in and out. So we had that. I think that's a very good idea. I think because whenever you buy candles and stuff like that, you want to smell. Everyone wants to smell to know what it is. So we always encourage, like, you don't know what you want to get, come and talk to us. Because I know words cannot transit, like, into scent. But the best that we can do is just talking you through, like, what you like and identifying that with our range of scents that we carry. That we normally will ask questions like, okay, what is your go-to scent?
What's
like
your preference?
Yeah. So we try to identify that and recommend that. Every time, let's say they buy something off of us, we'll make sure that we will put in a little small samples so they can smell the different kind of scent that we have as well.
I want to talk about customer service. It is an important part that most businesses neglect because it is such a good marketing strategy that keeps people coming back. Now, when I approached both of you guys, it was just very energetic, very warm. That was the tone that translated to me. Now, why is this important for you guys?
We talk about USP, right? We talk about like our scent is different, our wax is different, our concrete, our vessels is different, our packaging is different. So I'm always telling Anne that we need to stand out. A customer service, like right now, because in the era of like TikTok and everything, you can just post out a video and people will feel connected with it. But what real connection is, we felt like it's really true, one-to-one, like chatting session and everything. So every conversation that comes in, which I try to treat it as like, you know, I've never seen them for a long time. Like, it's like my friend. We don't want everyone to feel like, oh my God, I'm talking to like a corporate business. Like, oh, like there's like a big wall towards it. We just want to connect. Because at the end of the day, we're building candles and everything. It's just to connect people with their emotions and we want to connect that with them.
And you're touching on every touch point of the customer's journey, right? Like,
yeah.
I think that is a very, very interesting point. Okay, what are your future plans? Expansions, talking about automation, expanding the team. What are the plans out there?
I think our main priority is to expand the team because we are very, you know, we are looking out for people who are, you know, suitable.
Who wants to get their hands dirty? I think in terms of team expansion, of course, we want to find the right fit for the team. It goes blinded with us as well. So I guess, like I say, with the disparity in like candles in this market, so we really hope that maybe we can start looking into international markets and bringing it overseas. That's the reason why we decided to switch our packaging. Like before that, we were using our normal cardboard boxes and stuff like that, or just adding in stickers, making it quirky and fun. Because we had the idea of expanding globally. So I guess we were like, okay, sustainability is something that we really need to touch on. Whatever you buy from Embo, everything that you can get is reusable and repurposable. So yeah,
unfortunately that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for spending time with me today. No, Anne and Bo, if you want to know more about Anne Bo, where can they find you?
They can find us at www.anbo.my, A-N-B-O.
Right, if you missed any part of this show, you can go ahead on our website at bfm.my or the BFM app that is available on the Apple App Store and Google Play. I'm Lily Choi and this has been Open for Business here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.